Welcome to the K-Scope podcast number 77. Details coming up of Anathema's tour through November of this year. Brand new music from the Anchoress and No Sound. But first, from the new album, from The Pineapple Thief, Your Wilderness, ahead of an exclusive interview coming up with Bruce Sword, this is In Exile.
We are in exile. We'll be right back.
featuring the distinctive drum stylings of Gavin Harrison of King Crimson and Porcupine Tree. That is out now. It's the opening track from the Pineapple Thieves' brand new album, Your Wilderness, and it is entitled In Exile. Now, I haven't seen Bruce Sword, the Pineapple Thieves' main man, for a little while, not since his solo album last year. So I popped down to the southwest of England, to Yeovil, to his studio, went upstairs, sat on the sofa, had a cup of tea, and asked Bruce what he'd been up to since I last saw him.
Oh, right, OK, let's rewind. When was that? That was last summer. It was about a year ago, wasn't it, when you were down?
Yeah, July.
So I finished the Sword solo, which went really well, thankfully, and hopefully there'll be another one of them.
Okay.
And then, since then, I was doing a lot of production work, so a lot of 5.1 mixing, which has been really good. You know, it's sort of kept the full-time business going of being a musician, which isn't easy. Any musician will tell you that. And then it kind of, you know, it came round to, well, let's do another Pineapple Thief record. It's almost like a natural cycle.
What's the difference between then doing a solo record where you've got no one to bounce off of, but by the same token, I guess you've got no one to tell you, no, you can't do that. What are the major differences between that and the band dynamic?
Well, that's something that's changed. I think when I did the solo record, it all of a sudden, my confusion that was in my musical head disappeared, and I was able to do my, you know, my Control Freak solo album, where I only have myself to answer to. I made my own mistakes, so the only person I could be annoyed with was myself. and it was great. And then when I finished the solo, I kind of felt really free mentally to understand where the Pineapple Thief was going to go. And I think that meant that when I did the Pineapple Thief, I was able to really let go and just allow it to be a band production, as opposed to Bruce Sword being anally and annoyingly control freakish about it. And I took a complete step back from production and performance, which was really refreshing for me. Terrifying, being a control freak, but it worked out so much better. And the album turned out better than I could have done.
Okay, that's interesting. The vocals, again, we spoke about this last couple of times I've been down here. Your singing is superb.
Oh,
and it's getting better and better, and it seems that you're more often than not now right up at the top of your register. Why is that?
Yeah, well,
you're not belting it out.
No, and
I think it's almost falsetto.
Yeah, and I think I've seen some reviews where there's, because that, you know, the new album is quite powerful and it's quite heavy sections, but my voice is usually quite melancholic and soft over the top, so almost saying it's like a dreamy state. And but I think when I listen back to my old records and I hear myself trying to sing like Dave Grohl or something for the big chorus, what happened was that I'd end up sounding like a whiny Billy Corgan. You know, it just didn't work. It was, and I think that as I've got a bit older and a bit wiser, I've understood how to use my voice, and especially doing solo record. And then when I approached the new Pineapple Thief, it's almost like the voice was my first instrument.
Okay.
Especially getting Darren from Godsticks, who's technically so much of a better guitarist than me. So I was able to actually take a real step back and focus on the songwriting and the vocals, which has been really relaxing.
When you're sitting down then, writing the song, are you singing it in the lower register to start with and then going an octave above? Or are you literally sitting there skipping the whole time?
I don't know. Because when I'm writing a song, I think the difference with the Pineapple Thief as well was that I wrote all the songs on a really low baritone acoustic guitar.
Okay.
And I think that forced me to change the register of where I sang. So I couldn't sing low, low, too low. And my voice doesn't go that low anyway. So I think I just found a register where I was happy. And I think maybe my voice is just naturally settled on that that higher kind of level.
Yeah, no, it's not. But it must make it so difficult live, because there's so much more. My understanding is, having tried it myself, there's so much more control needed if you are octave above your speaking voice. So live, that must be really difficult.
Well, yeah, but I think what's happened live is that technology has come on so far. You know, the quality of PAs has come on so far. So the quality of the sound when you go to a gig nowadays, it's so much better, even though in the UK it's a little bit quieter than it.
But we have laws.
Yes, we have horrible laws. but the sound quality is so much better, and the monitoring environment for musicians on stage is so much better. So you don't have to. The old style performance. In the old days, you really had to belt it out.
Mm.
You don't have to do that anymore. I think
the band tends to do, certainly since I saw you last, tend to do these big events, Be Prog My Friend, rather than sort of like club dates.
Yeah.
Which do you prefer?
I personally prefer the club date. I prefer the smaller stages, the more intimate crowds, because there comes a point where you kind of feel this detachment from the audience. And I much prefer the club vibe. Definitely.
Are you going to do more of that on this record? Because there's not been that much. There's not been a sort of like big, proper fuck off the Pineapple Thief tour.
No. And I think that, to be honest, there's, and a lot of bands I speak to, it's logistically, it's really hard to put a tour together, especially getting a crew that you can afford to pay and to make it work. But having said that, we're hoping that, the reaction to the new record so far has been really good. If it carries on sort of progressing the way it is, then we'll certainly take the band out. I mean, every band I know that plays live desperately just wants to do more gigs, more shows. It's not like, the Pineapple Thief can't be bothered to play.
Yeah,
we desperately want. I mean, I was doing loads of Skype interviews to Australia this morning, and they're all saying, "Wait, Bruce, when are you coming over? When are you coming over?" And I said,
"Well, lend us a load of gear, and give us a couple of grand."
Exactly.
Let's go through the record then. I don't know whether I'm being manipulated by the artwork and some of the titles,
yes.
But there is, and having gone through it twice, right? Went through it twice. That there is a, as you say, a real melancholy about it, a real loneliness about it, a real American gothicness about it.
Yeah.
Is this a very sad record?
Well, I'd listened through to the record for the first time recently, and people have been questioning my lyrics. And then when I actually sit down and explain to people what the songs are about, I go, "Oh my god, yeah, it is a sad record, really is." And it's about. I mean, the front cover kind of sums it up: this mother and child looking out over the wilderness. The wilderness to me is the life of the child, the child's perspective, the terrifying, daunting prospect of the life in front of them. Also, the terror and worry of a parent looking at their child and the life ahead for that. Exclusively about a parent child. It's just about any kind of relationship, any loving relationship, two people who are close to each other. So the album explores all the really quite harrowing, I guess, emotions that you might go through with being... I mean, In Exile is about two people who are estranged. And so there's a lot of songs about separation and estrangement, but also about reconciliation. And I always think that even though it's pretty damn depressing, it's still, for me, quite cathartic because it just reminds me about what's important.
Okay, yeah, because I think maybe I was looking for clues, because it's interesting you should talk about parenting there, because I know you're a parent, and I think I was looking for clues is that there are elements of it that are about the fears of being a parent.
Yeah, and very, very much so. And I think the fears is a perfect word to describe the emotions that sort of that run through that I felt when I was writing the album, definitely.
Well, we lived through difficult times, you must be afeared of what's going to happen in England in the future, in Britain in the future, with the political upset, the economic upset at the moment. What's going to happen to your children in the future? So, well, is that something you can express through art, or are you reflecting it through art?
I think probably a bit of both, and because I remember, we were shooting a video the day that we voted to leave the EU, and it was like being at a funeral. It was a hideous feeling, and it's bound to inform and influence how, because when I write songs, it's just purely how you're feeling about everything. And it's been a pretty the last 6 to 8 weeks has been pretty dark, pretty strange time.
Yeah, it's for an Englishman, it's a sudden realisation that maybe something that we've forgotten, that England is a very strict place, it's a very patrician place, it's a place that exists outside of the metropolises. And though sometimes people, especially people from Europe, see us as the inventors of all of this great art and all this great pop music, we are a very strict place that is frightened of change.
Yeah, completely. And maybe I'm lucky, and the band is lucky in that we've travelled Europe a lot. But, we felt we feel like European citizens, not probably global citizens. So it's
odd, isn't it? Because you would thought that global citizens, because you would thought with the internet and, you know, international monetary funds, you would have thought, and international capitalism, you'd have thought that we'd feel closer as a species.
Yeah.
And yet we're more isolated than ever.
I know. Yeah, it's really, really bizarre. And you know, I think I was out doing interviews in Germany. Shortly after the week that we voted for Brexit, and almost wanted to have a T-shirt that said, "I'm sorry, I didn't."
Yeah, no, I'm
please,
so embarrassed. Yeah, we run holiday. Exactly. Well, let's go through some of it, because there's, like you say, there is the usual gentle and heavy elements to it, but there's a lot of kind of interesting. Let's be a bit nerdy to start with. There's a lot of interesting guitar figures.
Yeah.
In it. Can everything be boiled down to just an acoustic guitar on this record?
Well, I wrote...
There's some odd Norfolk Broads in it.
Yeah. Well, I wrote all of the songs on acoustic guitar, on that very sofa over there, actually. Okay. That's where I'd lie on the sofa with my guitar and you know, pray that it would come together. And then I'd come and wander over here.
Do you start with the guitar figures?
All the time.
Right, okay.
All the time, yeah. And so a guitar, a sort of vocal melody, not the words, but I'll always have a phrase, so there will always be an understanding of what the song is going to be about, and so they can all be boiled down.
By the same token, there's a lot of hooks in there as well. There seems to be a deliberate attempt this time to have things repeating, little vocal hooks, little guitar hooks, little guitar figures. Is that something that comes earlier, or is that thinking, oh god, we're really disciplining up our own arse here? Let's put...
No. I think I'm, you know, not afraid to admit that I've always been, a fan of hooks in music. There's got to be something to hook onto. Otherwise, like you say, it becomes meandering and maybe, you know, possibly pretentious. All those words. That,
I don't know. Any problem? We've discussed this before. I have any problems with pretentiousness at all?
Good.
It's rock music. It's got to be. If it's going to be art, then it has to be pretending to be something. Which one, right, Ben, Bruce? Yeah. Let's plonk it in front of you. Which one just came together like that?
Oh, I can tell you that straight away. The Final Thing on My Mind was the first song I wrote. I remember that I always wanted to write a song that started slowly, that took a while to get going, in the old sort of 70s prog style.
Yeah.
And if you listen to that track, it starts with this just very, very sparse, minimalist guitar, which was probably influenced a lot by the minimalist music movement, you know, Steve Reich especially.
Yeah.
And so I just remember just everything came together, and all the hooks that came together straight away in my head, and it just turned into this 10-minute song with ease.
Just one final thing on my mind. far from me. We got it so wrong, so wrong. How did we let it get this cold?
Tell us about the gentleman involved in the Pineapple Thief on this record.
Well,
who's on it?
Yeah, so like I said, the most eye-catching member or new member, because we were without a drummer, was Gavin, and it was great because I let everyone have a blank canvas when it came to putting down their parts. But, you know, I'm not going to tell Gavin what kind of drums to play.
Well, it's impossible to describe what he does,
well,
isn't
exactly.
It? Gav, can you go... and then hit the crash.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen, is it?
Yeah, so it was great, and I think he really enjoyed playing on the record too, because we had a really good time discussing it, and we had a good laugh actually going through the whole sessions, and so that came together perfectly. I also had John Helliwell from Supertramp did a little bit of clarinet, and that
was a real fanboy thing, totally, because
I thought, who can I, let's be a little bit cheeky and let's see what guest I can get, and so I emailed him, and again he was happy to do it, and we drove up to Manchester and met him for lunch, and I was desperately trying not to be this little, oh my god, it's John, my hero. But he was a lovely guy, and that, I'll never forget that day. So it was, I still can't believe he's actually on the record. It's brilliant. And then we got Jeffrey Richardson, who did the brilliant string arrangements on the record. And the weird thing about that is I was listening to a Nick Haywood album, from Haircut 100. And I thought, wow, these strings are brilliant. And I looked up the credits and I saw it was Jeffrey Richardson. And I didn't actually clock that it was Jeffrey Richardson from Caravan until I Googled it.
Right.
I thought, oh, this is a bit weird, So, and especially as Caravan was the our first ever gig, live gig, was supporting Caravan. The cosmos is saying something to me here.
Nick Haywood's very much into his Canterbury.
Oh, really?
He's very much into his English music. Yeah, big time.
That's probably where it came from then. Yeah. So, so that's how that all came about. And then my old Welsh chum, Darren Charles, did the proper guitar work.
Right.
So if you hear any technically good guitar playing, then it's not me.
Okay. Quickfire. Now, Smash Hits Star Quickfire. Are you ready? We've spoken many times, Bruce, so we haven't done this yet. So, Stratocaster or Telecaster?
Do you know what? Telly.
Unknown Pleasures or Closer?
Unknown Pleasures.
Ooh. Beans on toast or cheese on toast?
Cheese on toast.
Stephen Wilson or Porcupine Tree?
Stephen Wilson.
Ooh, controversial. Is there anything else that you would like to add to this interview concerning the future of yourself and the group? What happens now?
Oh, I think that what happens now is entirely in the lap of the listeners. If it really is down to people, if people get the music and love the music and want to hear the music, then, we're going to have a long future. But we don't take that for granted, that's for sure.
Make your move.
it's time to make you know.
Thief from Your Wilderness, the new album out now. That's entitled Take Your Shot. And before that, you heard The Final Thing on My Mind. And the album's out as a deluxe 12-inch hardback book featuring 44-page artwork book, a CD of Your Wilderness, the 8-track original album, a new bonus 8 Years Later CD, which is a 40-minute piece of uninterrupted music, a DVD AV with the 8 original tracks in high resolution stereo and 5.1 surround sound mixes. Also available as a CD featuring the 8 original album tracks and a 24 page booklet, or 180 gram heavyweight vinyl LP with an MP3 download code and booklet. Also digital download, mastered for iTunes. And don't forget, you can get a Your Wilderness t-shirt from our friends at Burning Shed. The Pineapple Thief. My thanks to Bruce Sword for making me so welcome down at Sword Sound Studios. And we look forward to some live dates later in the year. And also you can see the video for In Exile, K-Scope Music. Some news for you. Tesseract have been confirmed as the support act, the special guests on the Devin Townsend Project UK tour in March 2017. So some club dates for Tesseract in Bristol, Manchester, Glasgow, Birmingham, Hammersmith Apollo and Nottingham Rock City through March 2017. Tesseract, of course, presently getting ready for their North American tour. A 2-CD edition of Polaris is out, which includes a bonus disc entitled Arai. Anathema are going out on tour in November to play new material, to road test tracks from their as-yet-untitled 11th album. Vincent says of this tour, quite often in the past, we've ended up changing previously recorded songs and arrangements after playing them live. We thought we'd try it the other way round for once. So in November, an evening with Anathema and their new material, home Firth, Cardiff, Brighton, Leamington Spa, Reading, before a trip to the Netherlands, and then back on the 15th of November to the UK and the Southampton Engine Rooms. Details are on the kscopemusic.com website, of course. And the Anchoress will be releasing Confessions of a Romance Novelist on vinyl for the first time on the 14th of October, as well as a second edition of the CD as a double digipack. And a special one-off live show is coming up at London's King's Place on December the 17th. Here's a little snippet of one of the handful of bonus acoustic tracks. This is Bury Me.
Lips that bruise and strain to taste the cuts of us embrace command.
Express, and a little snippet of the acoustic version of Bury Me. And No Sound return on the 2nd of September. Their new studio album, Scintilla, gets a release on K-Scope. And to celebrate, the band have launched a new video for the song Sogno e Incendio, featuring and co-written with acclaimed Italian singer Andrea Cimenti. We'll speak to Giancarlo from No Sound in the next K-Scope podcast. But we're going to play out with an exclusive here. This is lovely, this, from No Sound and the new album Scintilla. This is entitled Emily. Ciao.
Emily, I'm in trouble. Can you get these thoughts out of my head? Emily, I'm in trouble. Time stole my strength and lightning fled. And you know I struggle. Holding myself together through the storms. Am I missing double? Don't leave me here alone. Step out tonight and look up at the stars. We could share the same sky once more, even if we get apart. I know it was ages ago.
I know.
Find me here anymore, for I'm so ashamed.